Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show and happy Friday. Entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from beautiful Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about land investment diversification.
That's a mouthful. Say that three times fast.
Land investment diversification. I can do it.
Land investment diversification. That's hard.
What complicated could this possibly be, Steve?
Were you going for the SEO on this show or something?
No.
Does that come up a lot? No one else uses that, that's for sure. If anybody typed in land investment diversification, we would pop to the top. So thank you, Stephen, for thinking ahead.
Jill, that's why we have you on this program, to lighten the whole thing up and make sure we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Wow, that is way too serious. I'm here to save everyone, and starting with you.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Hi, Milan. Milan asks, you have a land you bought for $4,000 and self-closed. You sell it for $25,000 on a four-year payment plan.
That's good.
At the end of your term, the buyer asks you for a title close. Title finds some issues and refuses to insure it. Are you obligated to give a refund to your buyer? How would you guys handle a situation like that? Well, I have a couple things to say.
I have a bunch of stuff to say. Go ahead.
Well, number one, I happen to know who this person is, and he's been with us, following us for many, many, many years. He's not actually a member.
Oh.
So I don't know if he's able to do his due diligence like the rest of us do. And if, unfortunately, if he did have access to all the things that we do, like with Title Pro and all the stuff that we have, if he would have saved himself
a little bit. Nailing it.
So, I mean, that's my first gut instinct, because that's one of the things that we all do, Milan, is we all do our own homework. We're pretty much doing our own title work, ahead of time before we act on the transaction and purchase it ourselves. So if you had all that stuff and you could easily pull a lien report or whatever that had come up, just even going back and checking the transfer of title more than just who you bought it from, because that's what it sounds like happened. I'm guessing you bought it from somebody and it all looked legit at that point, but you weren't able to go back to the person before that and the person before that and make sure there's no clouds on the title, basically. We do that and we have access to that. So my number one recommendation would be, you know, maybe if you don't want to invest in getting all the right tools and the resources yourself, maybe you should buy. If you had bought it with title insurance, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, $4,000 is a threshold to actually purchase. I have a few things to say if you're done.
Okay, I think I'm done.
Number one, on a $4,000 property, you should probably buy it with title insurance.
Especially if you're not a member.
Especially
you can't
if you think it's worth $25,000.
Right.
Which means it's probably worth $50,000. So please consider that next time. Number two, just find another buyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, find another title company. I would go through rolls and rolls of the title company.
Well, but what if there is really an issue and he
here's another option. You can do.
I would refund it.
You could do quiet title. You'd refund $25,000. No, you would solve it.
I would, but you'd have to work it out the right way. But if I really bought it wrong, I mean, that's the whole thing we're talking about too.
We're not going to never, ever want to screw the buyer.
Right. That's my point. Do the right thing, even if it costs money.
There's 50 things that can happen to rectify the situation before you start doing refunds. Are you obligated? If that's your question, are you obligated to give a refund to your buyer? Probably.
That's what I think. I do too.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
It really is. So, and well, for me too, whatever the issue was, now you have to go and solve that. What if the issue is simply that two owners ago, it wasn't recorded correctly? So you're right there, Stephen. The right title company is going to go back and solve that stuff.
So more than likely, here's just my gut. Not with all this experience we have, maybe a few people back in the title, it got sold at a tax sale. Mm-hmm. Somebody bought it at a tax sale and resold it. Maybe just the guy even that Milan bought it from. Mm-hmm. That's more than likely what causes a title company to not want to be involved. The big ones. Mm-hmm. There's tons and tons of mom and pop title companies that love these deals and they'll do them all day.
There you go.
If you go to sourceoftitle.com, that's where they all hang out.
Right.
It's like their little anti-establishment portal. Right. I love it. They have terrible attitudes, and they can't stand the huge corporations, and they yell about counties. It's beautiful. That's it's a little snarky little club that I pay for to belong to because I love it.
That's funny. Yes. So, and my question is, I mean, I go back to, you know, you can't get title insurance now. Do I have to give the guys money back? I'm with you too. It's just like, do you want the reputation? Do you want what this person could do to you? No, I don't want my name out there with a bad reputation, number one. I don't want someone really unhappy. I don't want even, and if he could afford $25,000 in 4 years, he could probably afford an attorney.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
No,
so I'm being all legit.
Never let it get to that.
Exactly. Never. So I wouldn't even question, I wouldn't even think about that. And you know what? And that's the thing too. That's how we roll. We have sold properties, and it took people a year to go out and look at them. They love it.
Oh,
they
made, yeah.
They bought them. They're all excited. They went, and then when they finally got out there, it was not what they wanted. They you know, whatever it is, you know what? It's not worth it.
Right.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to give someone a hard time. I'm not going to say you're stuck with it. It was a 90-day return policy. No, I'm never going to do that. We're going to do the right thing.
You know what Jill's done in the past too is,
I'll swap it.
Swap it.
Yeah, I'll swap it for something else. I'll say what's missing, and you know, and then, and honestly too, here's what's happened. 4 years later, often the property's worth more.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fine. You want your money back? Here you go. Like, you know, what this $25,000 property? Maybe it is 30 now.
Right, Joe.
So you know what? Yeah, I'll give you your money back. I'll do it now. I'm going to go do it this way and get the title insurance on the front end, sell it for cash now. You know, whatever it is. There's a lot of ways.
$4,000 and then a $25,000 sale. If for whatever reason I purchased a $4,000 piece of property without getting title insurance, and then I sold it for $25,000. I would immediately actually then go reclose the property. I would probably just deed it to Jill and we would buy it with title insurance.
Right.
Before I collected any money, because don't put yourself in this position again, Lon. That's my point. That's what you need to take away from this and everybody else listening.
Great advice.
How much money did you save?
Thank you, Steven.
By not doing this?
Right.
You saved $600, maybe $700 on the upfront on a $25,000 to $50,000 piece of property, and now it's a mess.
Exactly.
You really didn't save any money at all.
No, you've got a guy who's been paying you for 4 years, and he might want his money back, and you get to come up with the $25,000 real quick.
Or if you were at the very least part of our group and had access to all the professional tools that we have, you would have solved this long before the deal ever happened.
You would have figured this out.
Maybe you wouldn't have bought it.
That's what I think.
The title flaw is
That's
so bad.
My point.
So you're saving yourself $250 a month, but did you save any money?
Exactly.
Because you're doing a $25,000 refund now. I'm not picking on you, Milan, but there are a lot of people that are just, I don't understand that.
I know.
That's okay. I believe in using professional grade tools to buy real estate.
Well, and it's like, this is a perfect thing too. Do you want to do this all on your own? There's a lot of people that want to do this on their own, just learn and take 10, 20 years, whatever it is. Or do you want to cut to the chase and we can help you?
Yeah, mix and dull.
Thank you.
And do it right. Today's topic, land investment diversification. This is the meat of the show. It's also the topic of humor for Jill. Here's my point. I'm going to cut right to the chase so we can have some fun. Believe it or not, there's like a bunch of types of land. There's rural vacant land that's usually county property. There's agricultural land. There's urban buildable, air quotes, buildable infill lots. There's heavy industrial property. There's recreational land like in Michigan and Florida. Jill's getting a call. I'll handle the show. Why don't you take this? Go ahead.
Hi, Chris.
Jill's literally purchasing a large piece of property in a very urban area.
Yes. So now
I'm going to put it on pause.
This is a family vacation.
Okay, Jill, so tell us. We're back. Tell us how it went.
You know what? I hesitate to share too much, but I think we could make $100,000.
That's what I think.
On this deal. Which is so interesting is, I'll share a little bit though. This woman and I have been talking for months, and I really kind of said, we don't want this deal because it's, I do know it's a house and it's in rough shape. And she wasn't quite ready still to move on. Well, apparently where she lives, it's heating up and it's getting hot and she can't take it anymore, poor thing. So she's calling to say, I got to get out of here kind of thing. And you know what? What's interesting about this deal is it's one of those. I think that the reason she's talking to us, I'm sure other people have offered her, made her offers because it's a paid off house in an awesome area. Mm-hmm. So she's trips people's radars, but they don't connect with her. And I've really been a listener, sometimes too much of a listener. And I think she trusts me because she has said things like, I don't really want people to come in here, a lot of people to come in here and look at it. She's not going to call We Buy Ugly Houses or stuff like that.
Right.
She's a little uncomfortable and she lives alone. And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good opportunity. It's going to need some work.
That's so fine.
And that's okay.
Oh, I know it's priced right. And I know she asked for a purchase agreement. So, mm-hmm. Or she asked for a fresh purchase agreement with new dates on it. So,
yep.
That's all
it's
I gonna care
be
about.
Awesome.
And I'm happy about that. Great work, Jill.
Thank
Camps
you.
Constantly.
Thank you.
I'm surprised we don't get. Well, you know what? Usually we record really early in the morning. It's not so early today.
No, it's not.
I was just thinking, like, why?
Where is my phone? Where are these? And I'm not usually dealing with these transactions, but a few of them I do want to be involved in. So yeah. Thank you. That's why I needed to take the call.
No problem.
I love this. Okay, so land investment diversification. I love this topic. Man, this is great. Okay, I heard you talk about, we had everything we talked about. Did you talk about commercial yet? I don't think we got into commercial.
Yeah, industrial commercial.
Industrial commercial. There's...
Well, let's talk about them one by one. So
okay.
There's rural vacant land that we talk about all the time. It's always really, not always, but it's the vast majority very inexpensive. There may or may not be potential access issues, so we really got to review it. But by and large, you can get pretty good deals and sell them for more.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they just want to get rid of it. The seller just wants to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's infill lots, you know, like a property that you drive down the street, maybe where you live, and there's a vacant lot between two houses. That's an infill lot. Same situation. They're priced a little bit more closely and tied to housing prices and things, but you still can get a smoking deal.
Yes.
There's agriculture property, like in the center of the country. That is almost a commodity where if you ask a group of guys in a coffee shop in Iowa what an acre is going for right now, they're all going to give you some version of $8,000 an acre.
Right.
Or 18,000. They're going to say, oh, maybe 18,500. And then they'll all get into it with themselves. But one's not going to say 30 and one's not going to say 5.
Right.
So it's more of a commodity with a single use kind of thing. Then there's commercial development property, which is what Jill just said. Commercial property that can potentially be rezoned and reused that you can make hordes of money on.
Mm-hmm.
When you change the use of a property, we're going through this right now on a property. Change the zoning and change the use, you're creating a tremendous amount of equity for yourself. The key is you have to be able to understand the municipality and know if they're going to be willing to do this.
Correct. Before you buy it.
Yeah. Before you take the risk.
Right.
So you are taking more risk, but there is more reward.
Well, and one of the things we haven't talked about in a while is, you know, depending on the property that you're looking at, it's easier traditionally to zone down than it is to zone up. So if you have a commercial property, you want to go to mobile, vacant, rural, something like that. That's usually pretty easy. Going the other way is harder.
Exactly.
And it's for, which is great because for our property types that we're dealing with, residential traditionally. That's what we're looking for.
Right.
So I love getting some of those funky ones. And honestly, the funky, I don't really often want to change the zoning. Let's be honest, because a lot of commercial property is valuable. There's a reason why it's zoned that way.
Yep.
I'm going to keep it commercial, sell it commercial, maybe make more money.
Exactly. And so you just have to weigh when it's worth doing that.
Right.
Or when it's worth, let's say, splitting a parcel up.
Right.
Which we have a lot of experience doing, or even doing a full-blown subdivision. So there's a lot of different ways to slice it. But what's the point of this show today?
What is the point, Steve?
Diversify it. Do a bunch of stuff. There are people in our group who specialize in not necessarily the actual product type, the property type, but they specialize in the legal situation the seller might be in.
It's true.
So there's, my point is try a lot of different things with when you're sending out mailers. Mm-hmm. Forget about if you have the money or don't have the money. If you find a good deal, you'll always find somebody to invest in it.
That's true. The money always comes.
It pays out to diversify and to shoot for the moon.
Don't be afraid, too. That's a big one that I talk to people like, oh, I don't want to even learn that. Why? Don't be afraid of it. You'll learn it. Yeah. It's okay.
Right.
We're here to help you. That's the whole point of our community, too, by the way. That's all these questions. These questions that we share in the beginning of each show is real, legit. Go read them for yourself. People going, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
And you watch everybody weigh in and help each other. So, you know, the next thing you know, then three responses down is, hey, I just did one 6 months ago. I did this, I did that. Call this lady at the county and talk to that guy, you know, whatever it is, and you'll get it done.
Right.
So, and that's the beauty of this too, is we have a, you know, we're here to help. We really are here to help.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 15 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next week where it's staying on track in your land investment career week.
I am looking forward to that. And we answer your questions posted on landinvestors.com. It's our online community I just talked about, and it's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Are you happy to be home?
Yes, I am, actually.
You've been traveling a lot.
I love traveling, though.
I do, too. It's so good to get out there and see this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we talk about, it's kind of funny. You don't have to go see it. You don't have to stand on it, which is true. That is all true. With maps and Google Earth and all the stuff that we can look at now and parcel fact that we have to find our properties, it's not a deal breaker slash however. What happens to you and I is we get, you know, sometimes I almost think that if we go out and look at the property, we're going to come back and up the price.
Yeah.
Because I go, wow, this is even better than I thought this was. Shucks, I am giving this stuff away. You know what I mean? It's so funny, but it is good to get out and really see it. And I mean, there's so much beautiful property out there too. People go, oh, it's rural vacant land. You know what? Go out there and look at it. You're going to stand there and go, this is breathtaking.
People who say that.
Thank you.
They're just not into it. I learned this the hard way because I didn't accept, you know, I had a real problem with that really early in my career. Like, oh my gosh, maybe they're right. Maybe it isn't worth, you know what? You're not a land person. You're a city person who wants to have your laundry picked up, and that's fine.
In a high rise, and that's okay.
It's fine, and I'm not knocking your lifestyle, and that's what you want, then I'm happy for you, but don't knock my stuff.
Exactly. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening, and while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.